Captain Talent Radio.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs, and I am the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. It is my absolute privilege and pleasure to host this call for you this evening, going on 19 plus years. If you're a first-time caller like one of the ladies was earlier tonight, welcome to the call. I've been hosting this call for 19 years, have had exceptional guests throughout my career. I've had the great Jim Rohn on this call on two different occasions, Dr. Joe Dispenza three different times, Mark Victor Hansen three different times, John Assaraf a couple of times, Susan Sly, top-tier income earner in a top-tier network marketing company, philanthropist and first-class woman multiple times, Alexis Romano, Jennifer Corliss Trinkner, C.G. Siddons, Tara Romano, Don Ferrantino, a host of many exceptional entrepreneurs, business people, philanthropists, six-figure and seven-figure income earners have spoken on this call. Stephen Simon, the movie producer who produced the award-winning movie What Dreams May Come, Bill and Ted's Great Adventure, and the classic Somewhere in Time has also been a guest on this call. It's my absolute privilege and pleasure to bring to you an exceptional guest speaker tonight. I'm going to cover a few quick announcements and bring her out this evening, but not only is she a great inspirational story, but she's also a very good friend of mine. Shelley, are you on the call tonight?
Good evening, Jeff. I'm here. Yes.
I cannot wait to have you as a guest. I'm going to cover just a few quick announcements, and we'll cover a little bit of our history, how you became the business owner, entrepreneur, an exceptional woman you are, because your story definitely deserves to be heard. And I heard a lot of people ringing in tonight from our hometown, Kansas City, Missouri, St. Louis. So we've got a lot of great people dialed in here this evening.
It
is, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, I'm going to cover a few quick announcements, and I'll bring you right out. If you're on this call tonight, I will be in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, this Saturday, February 4th. I have the privilege of sharing the stage with exceptional Don Ferrantino. For the last 2 years, Don and I have been speaking on the East Coast. Don and I shared the stage multiple times last year, and we will duplicate that effort this year. Don and I are in the process of booking an event with an exceptional speaker on the East Coast. We're releasing details of that, and it will absolutely be a page-turning event. So Don and I will be in Philadelphia this Saturday, hosted by good friend, brother from another mother, and Paizan, Joe DiBianca. Saturday, February 11th. I'd like to put the inflection on the word February. I will be in La Jolla, California, with multiple six-figure income earner, C.G. Siddons, one of the most exceptional women I've ever had the privilege of mentoring, collaborating with, sharing the stage. C.G. has also been a guest on this call. And I also know that Tara Romano will be attending that event also, another exceptional first-class business owner and multipreneur. February 25th, I'll be in Weehawken, New Jersey. Don Ferrantino is the host of that event. Norwalk, Connecticut, March 4th, March 11th, I'll be in Minneapolis for the first time ever in that location. Amy Shimmick and Russ Shimmick are hosting me at that event. I'll be in Baltimore, Maryland. Marianne Snyder is hosting that event with me, and that is going to be a fabulous event. And not only will that be the first time I've been in Baltimore for a few years, Madeline Brown will also be co-hosting. That will be a fabulous event. I'll be in Long Island on March 25th. April 1st and April 8th are open dates. Those are the only two open dates I have well into June. I will be booking those events. If you have a city you'd like me to speak in, feel free to contact me directly on Facebook through my inbox. If you're also looking for one-on-one coaching and or mentoring and you've never experienced a free 15-minute call, you can go directly to my email, or you can go directly to my Facebook page. Send me a message in my inbox with your phone number and what you'd be seeking for me in collaboration as your coach, and I will return your phone call within 24 hours. And with that, I'm going to move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. Now, this is a very, very special evening for me because not only do I have an outstanding guest speaker, a multipreneur, businesswoman of a lot of magnitude, a product developer, and a woman who took a product from an idea to a product itself but then took it to where it's a branded product in a top-tier network marketing company, Shelley Maguire. Shelley, it is absolutely fabulous to have you on this call this evening. You know, Shelley,
Jeff, thank you.
It is just so awesome to have you here. Shelley, you know, Shelley Weiner Maguire. I knew you as Shelley Weiner back in the day. You remember this?
Absolutely. And it's so, first of all, Jeff, I have to, though, commend you, because when I listen to everything you're doing and I read your Procrastination Cure book in one day poolside, and I just have to tell you, I'm just so impressed and so inspired, and this is such a real honor to be on the phone with you today, so thank you.
And I know that you, thank you, I have received that. I know you've been traveling the country promoting your product that you have developed with a top-tier network marketing company, but I want to tell a little bit about the story about you and I's history, then I want you to start to fill in some of the gaps on how you became the businesswoman you became, and then also one of the physical challenges that you've overcome, because you obviously are as a winner and you have unequivocally beat the odds. To fill in the gap a little here, I met Shelley in 1981 when her then boyfriend was bartending at a bar in Kansas City, Missouri, on the Plaza, Annie's Santa Fe, where they had.
Oh
the,
boy, I remember.
I do remember. I drank a lot of Cuervo. I never drank a margarita, but I drank a lot of shots of Cuervo back in the day. And Pat, who was your friend, was also my friend, and I knew Pat well as he was going to University of Missouri, Kansas City Dental School, and we had hung out in a circle of influence. We were like our era of the Brat Pack in that area. We were living in a very interesting area called the Country Club Plaza of Kansas City, Missouri at that time. Shelley, that was 1981. I think I was 23 or 24. I had just graduated 2 years prior at Northwest Missouri State. I was waiting tables at a five-star restaurant called Fanny's, being mentored by the great Victor Fontana, working with the godfather himself, Michael Garozzo, who went on to own five restaurants. And what an interesting experience it was like back then. Now, I lost track of you in 1985 as I moved off to Los Angeles, California. So tell the audience a little bit about your journey as a businesswoman and how you became the exceptional entrepreneur that you have become today.
Well, thank you, Jeff. And it's amazing. I don't know how you remember the dates. And you're right. That was kind of a crazy time in life. Exciting, but I think we know crazy. So I commend you for even remembering all of these dates. But in order to tell you about where I am as a businesswoman, if it's okay, I want to step back to when I was young.
Yes, at age 12, I believe you had an incurable disease called cystic fibrosis. Is that correct?
That's correct. And at the age of 12, and excuse my voice, I've been traveling and talking a lot, but at the age of 12, I was told that I had an incurable disease of cystic fibrosis and that my life expectancy would be 18 years old. Now, you can imagine at 12 years old being told you've got six more years to live was devastating news, and that really set me into a bad place in my life. And that was probably, you know, as I got older, 12, 14, 16, 18, and on. And that's about the time, Jeff, you and I started knowing each other into our early teens, right, throughout that time period.
Right, exactly.
And I was not in a good space. My mind was not right. My habits were not good. I didn't respect myself. I didn't really value life because I didn't think I had much life left. So I didn't place a value on living. I lived to the fullest. And then around the age of 25, which is probably, Jeff, right when you and I left track of one another, I started realizing that I had lived past 18 years old. And now with cystic fibrosis, you don't get over it. It doesn't go in remission. And it is a progressive lung disease. But what I realized at 25 is maybe I have control over the way I live my life. Maybe it's time to really wise up and take control and realize that although I'm faced with these obstacles and these challenges, it doesn't have to define me in a negative way. It can define me in a positive way, and that's really when I began to turn my life around.
It's a remarkable story. Bring us forward on what happened, because I knew you had this disease, and also when you and I were part of this culture, we were part of a party drug culture, and we had casualties of the jungle. We have people that you and I know that didn't make it out alive, and as Danny Sugarman wrote the book about the Doors, no one gets out alive. You and I know a lot of people who didn't make it. I mean, we have a friend named Dr. Dave and many other people, and you and I were living very fast. We were living on the edge. We were living this lifestyle called live fast, die young, and leave a great corpse, and we would laugh about things like that, think it was funny, stay up for nights on end, party, hear the sun, see the sun come up, the birds chirp, and think it was sort of funny. Actually, it was very tragic. You know, it had a very bad ending for me. I hit rock bottom in 1987. You found yours a little later. I believe you, before you ever really became the product developer that you have, and I want people to know that Shelly has developed and brought to market over 50 anti-aging skincare products in 15 years. That alone is remarkable. Your career as a regular presenter on Home Shopping Channel, HSN, live shopping TV worldwide, multiple infomercials. I didn't even know it was you when I first saw you, has led to your recognition as a top care skin care industry leader. You're also an accomplished author of the book Dancing in the Storm and an inspirational speaker, and you're going to be speaking in front of 5,000 people in the very near future. You also had many entrepreneurial endeavors. You founded and run a chain of high-end beauty spas with over 125 employees. You created an accredited continuing education program for massage therapists and estheticians. You owned and operated a chain of spray tanning salons. You're a serial entrepreneur, have owned several franchise businesses. I mean, you are a remarkable woman, and we used to see the sun come up. Remember those days?
Yes, I do, Jeff, and you're right. It was tragic, and, you know, I'll never forget. It was literally one night when I was sitting there, and everyone was getting ready to go out, and I had an epiphany, and I said, this has to end now. I've got to change my life now, and I literally, because I was in a bad relationship, I literally took three drawers out of my dresser, put them in my car, drove to a girlfriend's house, and I said, today starts a new day for me. And it was really that over, I just had an experience and I realized, I've got to get busy living or I'm going to be busy dying. And that is what life changed me. And after that point, I then took the other route. I became obsessed with health and wellness and nutrition. And I lost 55 pounds and I got into shape and I got my personal trainer's license. And I was doing all of these things to help myself. And in the meantime, I started learning about anti-aging. And I decided to buy a small spa in my area.
Was that in St. Louis? Right.
Correct. I heard some people on the call from St. Louis. Yay,
Cheryl,
St. Louis.
Shelly, did I hear you say you gained 55 pounds through our partying? No, it's not that I don't believe that, but you were
yes.
You're one of the most stunning women I've ever met in that era and still are.
Well,
how did you let yourself go to that?
You know, it was just all being, you know, when you don't have your life together, you're not in a good place and you don't value how amazing and wonderful our bodies and our life is. It just all is accumulative and your habits slow down and you become, you know, I just didn't really value anything. So I'm glad you missed out on that part, but yes.
Oh, you should have seen me at the bitter end. I mean, it was not pretty, Shelly. I as you gained 55 pounds, I lost about 30. And when I hit rock bottom, I weighed 115 pounds because I hadn't eaten in 2 years. I couldn't,
Jeff.
I couldn't pull my life together to eat. Eating was such an arduous task that drinking consumed my life. I was consuming a gallon of vodka a day, and I didn't want to go to the grocery store or the liquor store because they might think I was an addict. So I'd have to sneak around all these places, and it was the end of the era. So I mean, I hit the place where, you know, the bottom of rock bottom. There was no more bottoms to go for me,
which is a blessing. You know, it was a lifesaver.
So walk us through. And you've told me your story, but I want you to tell them because you moved from Kansas City, you moved to St. Louis, you end a relationship, you start in the spa business. How did you transition from spa to being a product developer? Because that's what really made your mark in the world.
It did. I bought a small salon in the area of Chesterfield, Missouri, real affluent area, but I went in just to dabble in business. And I started with more hair products and skin products, and I had a very small salon. But over the years, I grew from one salon to three salons, 125 employees, and I started realizing that the one thing we had, we'd bring people in and get facials and do all of these treatments, and we'd cleanse and tone and do all these wonderful procedures, $80, 1 hour, and then when the women left, they were confused when we took them up to buy them skincare. So I started really thinking about that there had to be a better way to find a multitasking product that could deliver spa-like quality results, be very made from very healthy, green products, but still be backed by science, powerful ingredients. And I went on a search, and I started self-educating, and I got a scientist and a lab, started traveling, meeting ingredient manufacturers, joined the Cosmetic Chemists Association, started attending trade fairs and meeting, and back in 14 years ago, I developed a product called the 2-Minute Miracle Gel, and it was actually one of our customers that named it that, because I created this product, aloe vera based, an amazing product where you actually see it working right in front of your eyes in 2 minutes, but it's a long-term anti-aging product, and it was actually our customer that said, oh my gosh, this is a miracle in 2 minutes, and I'm like, that's it. That's our name, and that changed the course of my life and changed my career starting 14 years ago. That is what propelled me to current, where I then sold the 2-Minute Miracle Gel, developed other skincare products, started really getting into health, wellness, beauty, and what I loved the most about it is besides me feeling better, I realized the impact I was having on women and men and being able to change their lives.
How many units of the 2-Minute Miracle Gel do you factor you sold in a 14-year period on Home Shopping Channel, Home Shopping Network, all of the infomercials you did? Can you ballpark how many units it went out the door?
Oh, boy. Well, I know that on HSN, I know when we hit the million mark in units, and that was many years ago, and we, you know, you were able to finally hit that million mark, and it was really such a thrill to be able to, you know, HSN goes into 98 million homes, and I had a great career there. And what's interesting about HSN is it is extremely hard to get on there, but it is extremely hard to stay on there because the competition is so fierce, and you've got all the big brands like Lancome and Arden and all these people competing for your airtime. So it's really cutthroat, but it's thrilling because it's an amazing opportunity to be able to learn how to reach the public, how to sell, how to understand what goes into a sale, how to understand the psychology of building a sale, and then really connecting with people to see how you can impact their lives by giving them products that change the way they look and change the way they feel. And it was an incredible 9-year career on there.
Now, if I remember right, you went to University of Missouri, is that correct?
I did.
Now, you
but
did
I got
to
be honest.
But you didn't
I did not graduate.
Right, that's cool. I went to Northwest Missouri State. you know where that is. I have a degree in radio and television. But in University of Missouri, you didn't have a background in any of this. You didn't have any science background. You're completely self-educated, self-taught. I mean, this is, in our language, in the old world, this is called street talk, street money. I mean, you really learned the inside game from being inside of it. I mean, so you go from being cocktail waitress, spa owner, no college degree, party girl, overweight, unhealthy, to becoming a multimillionaire. I mean, this is an amazing story. Not only that, but I know you, so... You and I saw each other at some of our bottoms, and now here we are, you know, where we are in our age, and we have figured out the inner game of business. So share with the audience a little bit about the tenacity it took to get in the home shopping network when you don't even know anything about this? This is all creation on command. How did you pull this off?
Well, you're right. And, you know, the whole idea is it is tenacity. It's courage. It's tenacity. It's perseverance. There is no such thing, as we all know, overnight success takes a lifetime. And what I did with the HSN, and I think this has always been really, I have a theory. Think like a child. They never take no for an answer. And when you look at a child, and I love the psychology of watching a child when they're standing around and they want something, whether it's ice cream or a toy or candy. And when one parent says no, immediately the child's not put off by no. But he starts scheming and thinking how to get around that word no. And they're already devious, looking for other ways and other paths and other ways to get around that obstacle. And that is what it took to get into Home Shopping Network. We called. We were told to fill out an application and to submit our information, and someone would get back to us in 30 days with either, within 30 months to let us know if they were interested. And I thought, boy, that's just going to take too long. I don't have that much time. So I ended up going kind of around the back door, calling one of the secretaries who was a secretary to one of the buyers. And I said, look, you've got to look at my skincare. We're on message boards, we're on blogs, but you're missing out. Long story short, I talked her into printing off my material and taking it into a staff meeting of buyers. And I followed back up with her, and through really hounding them week after week in a good way, but never giving up, no, 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 we can't, no, we can't, no, we can't. Finally, one day I get the call, yes, we'll see you. And that started, we went and did our dog and pony show. And it was super exciting because our launch, the day we launched, April 1st, we broke a beauty record for the biggest launch in HSN's history. Now, at that time, they were 23 years old. But it was pretty incredible. And it's just, it's an experience that showed me, you know, when I used to tell my friend, we're going to be on Home Shopping Network one day. One of my friends used to say, oh, really, good luck, because everybody wants to be on there. But my other girlfriend would say, well, you know what, somebody wins the car. And that just kept in my mind. If you keep up, somebody wins that car. Why not me? And that's really the way that I've looked at everything. You know, Jeff, we did the HSN for 9 years. And then one day, the producer of one of the Guthrie Ranker, are you familiar with Guthrie Ranker infomercials?
Yeah, very familiar. I mean, that's who does... That Tony Robbins, The Edge, they did Proactive,
yes.
Which is now Rodan and Field. I mean, that's the developer of Rodan and Field. And then they did Cindy Crawford's products, Maury Windsor's
yes.
products. I mean, like, everybody is everybody.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And I was kind of still, you know, even being on the big stage 9 years, and you just name those big names, that's a lot of competition. But one of the producers saw my product, The 2-Minute Miracle, saw my presentation on Home Shopping Network. And that was another thing that took, you know, I keep thinking about, you know, never say a no, finding your ways, creating your own luck. And that's really it, is creating your own luck. And one day I got an email. It was that Guthrie Ranker was going to be in Las Vegas at a show, and they were going to be looking for new ideas. And we got in the car, got our tickets, went out to Vegas, met Guthrie Ranker, and 6 months later, signed a 3-year contract with them and partnered with Carrie Anna Nava, which was awesome. She's one of the judges on Dancing with the Stars. You probably watched that show.
I have, and this is amazing. What mostly I got to, so people understand who Guthrie, it's tell them it's two words, it's two men. Tell them how to pronounce it.
Correct. It's Guthrie and then Ranker. And they really are the behemoth.
They are the biggest
industry.
Of the big. I mean, Steve Scott is sort of in their league, but Guthrie Ranker is right. They are the King Kong of infomercials. So, and what most people don't understand is what it takes to even get them to even go in the door in their Salt Lake City office or in their Sydney, Australia office. To even, I mean, you have to be a super talent. You remember they did. The woman from Victoria Principal, they did her products. I mean, they've done everyone who's everyone in the beauty industry, in personal development. I mean, if you're in there, I mean, that's That is the King of Kongs. And you actually,
well, Jeff, it's funny you mentioned Steve Scott. That was actually my first producer for the first round of shows.
And for, Steve Scott is also he's also an infomercial king who I believe he produced the Chuck Norris infomercials with Universal Gym.
Correct.
Is that right?
Yeah, and correct. Then, it's like one of the still the longest running infomercials on TV.
And then I have every book that Steve Scott wrote. And then he and Guthrie Ranker put together a network marketing company called Max Internationals about 10 years ago. The King Kongs of infomercials, an interesting launch. I was there for, I was part of it, so I really got to watch a lot of it. But now I have seen your videos from back in the day. So you are so polished. I mean, the way that, you mean, you glide, you have this, how did you become so good on film to be in all these, you've been seen by multiples of millions of people. I mean, you were a cocktail waitress back in the day, no college education. How'd you become so polished on being on television for so many years?
Well, thank you. You know, it's a few things. One is practice. I talk to myself in the mirror all the time. I talk to myself on the treadmill. I'm always thinking, always planning, always trying to perfect the way that I can relate to somebody, but also with passion. And for me, because of developing the 2-Minute Miracle Gel, and as I said, 50 other products in 14 years, I know these products. I love the skincare industry. I love understanding the science and the ingredients and knowing how, when I'm speaking and I'm relating to someone, whether it's through the television or an infomercial, or through network marketing, when somebody picks up my product and they try it and they use it, I know how much care and how much love and how much patience went into me formulating and manufacturing this product. And that really, I think, comes through. It's anything that you believe in. When you understand it and your heart's in it, I think it just makes it that much easier to be able to relay your story.
I have to ask you this. So do you look elegant and then wear a white lab coat with those big glasses when you
I know.
Although
the last I just did an event this weekend in Tucson, and they made me wear this big white overcoat, lab coat, which I guess I've never done before. I'm too short. It was like
tell
a
them
maxi
dress. Tell them how tall you are.
I'm not too tall. I'm 5. Would you want me to tell the truth or
yeah, of course. Fudge? Well, I've seen you in 6-inch heels, too, back in the day.
Well, I thought I was 5'1 and a half, but I found out like 2 weeks ago I am 5'1. Sorry, somewhere I lost a half inch in the last 6 months.
Well, I'm a Jack Russell lover, and so I learned it's never the dog, it's the bite. It's never the size of the dog, it's the bite of the dog. So
I got to remember that one.
It's not the dog, it's the bite. So, I mean, my Jack Russells used to grab people's pant legs and wouldn't let go of them. Those kinds of dogs, you know. It's that bite in the dog. I mean, so you go from cocktail waitress and living the life you lived in the early 80s to what you're doing now. Then your career takes another change in 2016. So I remember last year when you and I are connecting, I'm driving from... I'm talking to you in the back of a limousine on my cell phone, and I'm driving. My limo driver is driving me from Norwalk, Connecticut, to Newark, New Jersey, to catch a flight out the next day. I just done an event.
Ooh.
Actually, I was in Albany, New York. That's where I was with Frank Pecoraro, who's on tonight's call. One of my awesome fans and friends. I did an event with Frank. I'm talking to you on the way from Albany, and you're telling me about the next situation that's happening to you. Network marketing comes knocking on your door, and you then negotiate, without mentioning the company, share a little bit about what happened with the next situation that happened to your skincare line.
Okay, as far as where I am now or in between?
Yes, where you are now. What happened? Last summer.
And last summer, yes. So last summer, we were free agents, as I call it. We decided to leave HSN, and I love it. We left HSN on a high note. My last show was actually my best show ever. But I realized I really wanted to get back to my roots, because when we were in the salon business, and I was sharing my 2-Minute Miracle Gel with people and doing trade shows and doing home parties, I had that contact. And then when I went on TV and infomercials, I had a camera. And I said to my husband, Frankie Tedesco, I said, I miss what we used to do. I miss the people. I miss watching me change people's lives. And so we decided to part ways with HSN and became a free agent. And it was very flattering. We had probably 20 companies that had stepped up that wanted us to partner with them. And we did a lot of vetting, looked around, made some decisions. And, you know, I have to say, Jeff, throughout the time of my career from salon to where I am now, I think I'd be remiss to say that you have highs and lows in life and in business. So our career, thankfully, and I'm grateful, has always gone in an upward direction. But it doesn't mean that we haven't had those downturns. So we really wanted to look carefully at what our next move would be after HSN. Because during the HSN time, I was still able to do other business ventures. Some were winners. Some were not as much of a winner. And so I knew at this point in my life, picking where I wanted to be, finding the right partner, and finding a good home for my product where we could really grow and help others was so essential. And we partnered with a new company back in September and have launched our upgraded 2-Minute Miracle Gel, which has been extremely exciting right out of the gate. Super success, launched U.S. and Canada about a month and a half ago, launched in Korea. Last week, I zoomed into a huge conference. We launched in throughout the Europe. Madrid, Spain was the event. Getting ready to launch in 24 countries. So, and it's been a really exciting because what I've been able to do now is reinvent ourselves again and get the connection back with people and start to build our brand and what it is that is personally meaningful to me.
So let me interject this so people understand the magnitude of what you've done. So as a free agent, you left the Sure Thing, and then you had 20 people knock on your door. And then when we're talking 20 people, some of these people are knocking on your door are network marketing companies that do $10, $20, $30, $40, $50 million a month. So these are top 100 network marketing companies, some of them. Now, there's a lot of people in network marketing, direct sales, on this call tonight. I've been part of that industry for 30 years. So I want to understand so they grasp the magnitude. So you have people coming to you. They want to use your product to be their lead product. And so you are able to be this free agent. This means that when you sell this brand, now you receive a different kind of royalty, and it's another major audience that you're going to start to receive residual on. And now you're out in the field, in the world, selling your brand inside a company. What a miraculous victory for you.
Thank you, Jeff. Yeah, it is.
Here's how it sounds. Ching, ching, right?
It is, but, you know, it is extremely profitable. But what I'm doing now that I couldn't do on television is I've got 14 years of history of a product that has grown exponentially every year. I've got 14 years of a perfected demonstration, 14 years of before and after pictures, 14 years of understanding hot buttons for what sells. How do you demo? How do you approach people? How do you cold call? How do you break the ice? How do you get past your warm market? So I've been able to now to take that and teach others how to do that through sharing my product, but really interact with them. I mean, I just got back from an amazing event. We went to Tucson, met with groups of a few hundred people, did the demonstrations, taught them how we demonstrate, taught them about the product, showed them how exciting this is, what an opportunity it was. And I got to spend 2 days with these wonderful people. And then we went on to Phoenix yesterday and did an incredible party last night. And one of the gentlemen who was hosting the party, as he told me, because I had just met him for the first time, he and his wife were there, and he was telling me how he's a fireman and his wife, and he took this business on. They're distributing our products now. They joined up, and he started crying while he was talking about it and how much in a short time this has changed his life. And that's just, you know, yes, we want to make money. I want to make money. We all need to make money. We want to be successful. That has to be your driving force. But the gratification and the memories that stick with you and that really touch your heart is something like I saw last night, where I know that I'm affecting somebody else's future. I can help them do what I did, and I'm still doing. And I just think it's such a wonderful gift.
Well, it's a feeling. It's a feeling that has to be experienced. It can't be explained. So that
right.
that leads me to the next question. So here you are now. You have arrived. I mean, you've been in the game a long time. So like you, I have coached 60,000 hours in a 19-year career. I was a 10-year network marketer and owned other businesses throughout that time frame myself, and many of them did not succeed. It took me 7 years to have my first $500,000 year. It took me 8 years to have my first seven-figure year. You understand what that means. It means a lot of repetition, experience, learning the inner game, learning how to sell, brand, market. But here's what I want to ask you, because you obviously have lived the inner game. You've been a business owner like me for multiple years. Now, there are a lot of women on the call tonight who can identify with your story. I mean, skincare, esthetician, beauty line, vanity, these types of products. What insight would you give the woman on the call tonight, or it could be a man, who is not making the kind of money they want to make, who is relatively new at free enterprise and who is straddling the fence and their foot is on the dock and their foot is on the boat? They're not in the boat yet. What insight would you give this new entrepreneur, or struggling entrepreneur, on the kind of mindset required in the next 6 months, 12 months, 18 months, and 24 months? What do they have to do to be where you are one day, to have your kind of mindset?
Jeff, I want to make sure I clarify. Somebody that is in our industry or just entrepreneurial
anywhere.
Thinking?
They want to own a business.
So I think really, first of all, is really understanding what I know people, you have to know what you love to do. Something that you want to wake up to every day. Something that you think will be exciting to you. And something that you want so badly. Now, you may not realize you want that specific business that badly, but you have to understand what is your driving force. Is it money? Is it lifestyle? Is it prestige? Is it building for your future retirement? You have to really identify what is your goal, and then you have to be very prepared. I think it takes someone who is willing to look at challenges. You know, if you are the kind of person that challenge comes your way and it slows you down and it sets you backwards and it stops you in your tracks and you can't get past challenges, then you do need to think about if being an entrepreneur is good for you. But if you have that spirit where you look at life's challenges as a game, almost like why people like doing puzzles or playing chess or any game that involves strategy, when you start thinking about business, you need to turn your mindset around so that making challenges something exciting, something you welcome, something that gives you a reason to strategize, something that fuels you, that actually becomes a burning desire inside of you to figure it out, because you have to want success so badly and you have to believe that you can succeed so badly that you just won't let roadblocks stop you. And, you know, I think spending time with people who have been there, who understand what you're going through, realizing you don't know everything, keeping your mind open. You know, before I opened my first salon, I went around and I became very inquisitive to all the businesses that I wanted to learn about. I looked at a donut shop. I looked at a Chinese restaurant. I looked at salon businesses. I looked at so many different things because I wanted to understand business. I wanted to understand the mindset of a successful business. And I interviewed a lot of business owners. So it's really, you know, I think it's, you've got to go in all the way. You've got to go in all the way knowing that you're going to take, and the best way to start, in my opinion, the best way to start, my saying is take something until it doesn't make sense. So if you have a desire and you have an idea or a dream, start working your plan. Don't wait. Start working it step by step and keep working it until something doesn't make sense. And then if you hit that spot, Then you look at your options and you write down what are the other choices you could make, and then keep following that until it doesn't make sense. It's like if it's meant to be, and if you keep following it, you eventually find a way to find a path to reach the goal that you have. You will, for sure. As long as you don't give up, you will reach a goal.
So, Shelley, you said that, you know, for the last several years, you've been on the up, and you've had a few business ventures that weren't as successful as others. I'd love to ask this question of any entrepreneur. What was your most challenging moments as a business owner? What was that place where you were on the edge and you were, not that you would quit, but you may have had a little bit of doubt in yourself. What was the darkest moment you experienced as a business owner?
Well, there's been a few. You know, one of them was I bought a franchise of a dollar store. And at that time, I had my salons. I had three salons. I had two. They were back then, they were called mailbox, et cetera. Now they're UPS stores. And I had two mailbox, et cetera stores. And somebody talked me into partnering on a dollar store. And for me, I had a bad feeling about it. I didn't like the location. I felt like, you know, sometimes you have to say enough's enough. And I was committed already, overcommitted on my time. And I went into it anyway. And gosh, within the first 9 months, we were losing money and losing business. And I was devoting time to it. And it was depleting my other resources and my time to do my other lucrative businesses. And I had, you know, a multiple year lease, and I had this partnership. And that was a real low point because I had to make some hard decisions. You know, I had employees that I had hired, people that I had grown to really care about, and I was responsible for their livelihood. But I had to make a tough choice and bite the bullet and say, look, I could either go on 3 more years and be miserable and broke, or I can stop right now, make a decision, and put my time and my effort into a positive way in my life where I can have positive energy and my mind can be free. And so that was a tough decision, and financially was a big setback. But I knew that it wouldn't be my last venture, and I knew it wouldn't change my life for the rest of my life.
So
I would get through it.
I'm counting the moving parts here, so I want to make sure I'm following this. You had a dollar store. There's one about 4 blocks from me. I know what they are. So there.
Okay.
You had a dollar store. You had mailbox, et cetera, which are now UPS stores. How many of those did you have?
I had two of those stores.
And then you had other businesses at the same time. What were they?
I had three salon and spas in different locations spread out throughout the city. And then I had two locations I called Sun Source, and those were spray tanning salons.
So I'm counting, is that seven businesses?
That was correct. And the
All
last
right.
thing I needed, that's why I didn't need that dollar store.
Now, this leads to another question. So from my perspective as a business owner, that's very impressive. Because in our world, we call that the moving parts of success. So how, this is in St. Louis, is this correct?
Yeah, that's correct, yeah.
So this is, being a Midwestern boy, you and I have both been to, you lived in St. Louis. It is one of my favorite cities. My great Charlie Gito's. Tony's.
Oh,
I mean,
on the hill.
Yeah,
love
exactly.
That.
Right, so you can tell we've been there. So, but St. Louis is a big, spread-out city, so you're going to have these locations all over. How did you be and stay organized enough to run seven businesses? Now, this is a good question.
Well, that's a really good question, and I think when you go back to, you know, what does an entrepreneur have to do? Part of it is that you have to be extremely organized, and you have to plan your time. But you also have to learn a little bit, two things. One is that you've got to give up a little control. You can't do everything. And sometimes when you're so involved in something that you nurtured from the ground up, it's hard to turn over responsibility to someone else in any manner because you want to do it all. You already know it. You don't want to have to show somebody else how to do it because you think you can do it faster or better. So part of it was learning how to hire the right people that I could work with and put them in places where it would help me focus my efforts. You know, they always say don't work in your business, work on your business. when it comes to the retailing and other instances like that. And that's one of the things I learned. I learned to work. I was every single day at every one of my locations. So I worked on my business, but I was visible somewhere every single day. So it's just, it takes a lot of organization. And Jeff, I got to be honest, I'm a workaholic. I have, but it's not to me. To me, it's what
I
love.
I can relate. So I understand you're a producer and you're an artist and you love what you do, and it's very misunderstood. Many people will misunderstand you, and they will say things like, "Don't you ever take a break? Don't you ever take a holiday?" Well, what they don't understand is a lot of what you're doing is a break. It is a holiday, and it's not even really labor. There's a passion, and it's creativity.
Exactly.
It gets very misunderstood when people say to me, they go, "Oh, you're a workaholic." And now the people that really know me, that like work for me, my employees, they know that that's not the fact, because I can turn it off in 10 seconds. And my business doesn't own me. I own the business. And I don't live, eat, and breathe the business. I own it, but I can separate myself from the business, because if anything happened to that business, that's a business. I don't go with it. Because my identity is me. I am me and I am free. But I could start a new business just like you in 10 seconds, because you and I both know we have the inner game. We earned that. So how many years have you been an entrepreneur now?
Let's see. So
count them, right?
My gosh. So I'm 56, so minus 25. I've got to do the math here. It's been over 25 years. And Jeff, you're exactly right. You know, to me, when I have downtime, sitting down and writing a blog post for my current company and doing an educational writing piece, that's relaxation. That's creative. That's my artistic time. That's my writing time. So although I'm producing something that may in the end be work-oriented, it's therapy. It's relaxing. It's what I love. So that's why I go back to making sure when you're in business that it's something that you really want to be involved with. Because then, as we know, then it's not work. It's just what you want to do because you love it. You have that passion for it, just like you do, Jeff. I mean, I listen to your traveling schedule of what you have coming up. I'm like just amazed. But it's what you love.
And well, I get to dine every Friday night. And so, I mean, I dine out with my friends, my clients, my one of my assistants, people who travel with me. I mean, I turn my travel into travel. I mean, I produce and perform on Saturday, but there's also the airport time. I go to the bookstores in the airport. I eat in the airport. I meet people in the airport. I sit in first class. I mean, it's an experience. I've flown 2 million miles on United, and then other miles on other areas. I mean, I've spoken in Australia, I've spoken in Taiwan, I've spoken in England, I've spoken in practically every state and every major metropolitan city in the last 19-plus years. And, I mean, I've been a business owner since back in the day. And, you know, one of the things I had is I never really had a mentor. But I had people I modeled myself after. You remember the great Victor Fontana, who owned Fanny?
Oh, yes. Very well.
Right. So he was one of the greatest restaurateurs that I ever met. And then there were a whole host of St. Louis Italian guys in there that were mentored by Tony and Charlie Gito. And, you know, those guys are like King Kong restaurateurs. And then I spent time with Mike and Jimmy Volley, two guys who also were concept restaurateurs. And then my next-door neighbor, Shelley, was a millionaire. His name was Harold Martin. And at 13 years old, I was working for him. My grandfather was a millionaire. He owned 3,000 acres of land. He was a welder and an inventor. And I worked for him. And, you know, other family members in my family never spent a minute on that farm. They never tore a roof off. They never ran a jackhammer. They never laid concrete. They never laid cement. I mean, they never paved a road. They never walked a cornfield, a bean field. They never drove a tractor. I mean, I worked my ass off. I baled hay, put myself through college, had a college scholarship. And when I graduated, I knew that I was going to be a millionaire. I didn't know how, but I had the why. I knew I was moving to L.A. I mean, you remember me. I had that juice. I've always had it. You had it too.
I do, and I look at what your career has done, and I mean, you, obviously, Jeff, you're such an inspiration, probably, you know, to me, and I know all the people that follow you and listen to you, because I hear, you know, I want to model myself after what you think and what you do, because you figured out the key to creating the life by design that you want, and that, I think that's what we all really want inside. It's just sometimes it's fearful. How do you get there?
You know, Shelley, people
really
ask me, people will ask me, they go, what inspires you? And I go, I'm inspired. And that I don't require inspiration to be inspired because I'm inspired. I have a fire that it burns. And that fire is going to burn every day. And I'm going to get up and I don't have to turn it on. It's on. And it stays on and it goes off when I go to bed and it comes on in the morning. And it's a slow, quiet, steady burn. And I'm not concerned with recognition. I'm more concerned with results because I learned that results get you recognition. But I see many people, they miss the boat and they focus on recognition. They want the recognition, but they don't learn the skills because it's the skills that give you the inner game. Now, one of the most impressive aspects that I'm receiving from you tonight is how much time you've spent building businesses. So in the book, The Tipping Point, it breaks down the 10,000-hour habit. So I was factoring and calculating that you're like me. You probably have 100,000-plus hours at least, 10 times the 10,000-hour habit. I mean, I've coached 60,000 hours. That's 6 times the 10,000-hour habit. So what many people miss is the repetition and experience of business. I mean, how many presentations do you factor you did on Home Shopping Channel and on television? I mean, how many times do you factor you've done that?
Oh, I mean, literally between Home Shopping Network and demonstrations on trade shows and home parties, it's thousands and thousands and thousands. I mean, I could never even count. It's 14 years of pretty much doing the same thing, showing, demonstrating, speaking, way too many to count. On Home Shopping Network, we were on every 2.5 months, and we would have about 4 to 6 shows during that visit, and they'd be anywhere from a half hour to an hour show. So it's just a lot of, like you said, Jeff, it's a lot of repetition, and when you ask what makes somebody good at that, it's repetition. It's knowing what you're going to say, knowing what you're going to do by rote. It just comes naturally. I never settle for what I've just done. I always want it to sound exciting. I always want it to sound better. I write notes incessantly. I am always working at improving or seeing if there's anything I can improve on, because I believe there's always that way to just step up your game a little bit higher. And I think that's important. You know, be content with yourself, love yourself, but never stop thinking that you can still do one more thing to maybe take yourself to a new height, a new level.
You know, your content tonight is extremely impressive. Here's one of my last questions for you. Who's one of the most impressive men or women that you modeled yourself, mentored with, or got to meet on your journey?
Wow, that's, you know,
There's hundreds for me, right.
Yes, I've worked with so many impressive people and speakers and book writers and authors and celebrities through HSM, but I will be honest, my mom and dad, and I say that because I believe that's where I've got my drive from. I believe that's where I got my ethics from. I think that's what shapes me now. My mom and dad, my dad's 86, my mom's 80, they don't give up, they don't stop, they don't settle. They were never wealthy, but they taught us how to value honesty and hard work and integrity. And I really think that's who I use every day as my model.
That is a great story, and your story of perseverance is extremely impressive. You also, as we wrap up here, you also the author of a book. The name of that book is?
Dancing in the Storm.
And where could someone purchase that book tonight if they wanted to purchase that?
You know, I think it's sold out on Amazon right now, so I have them, and I need to send more, but right now I have them available through us, and we donate the money to the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation.
Also, if someone wanted to follow your, I know you're on Facebook, and do you have a fan page or a blog where someone could follow you tonight that's listening in?
Oh, that'd be great. Yes, can I get my Facebook page?
You definitely can.
Oh, thank you. Okay, it's Shelley, S-H-E-L-L-Y, Weiner, W-E-I-N-E-R, McGuire, M-A-G-U-I-R-E.
So you're a St. Louis girl, Kansas City girl. I love it. I mean, I'm originally from right outside of Omaha, Nebraska, on the Iowa side. You met me in Kansas City, where I spent 7 years, and I spent the last 30-plus years in California. I mean, 1981, I mean, we have a long history. And to see what you've accomplished it's very inspiring, your story tonight. It's one of the best interviews that I've ever had the privilege of being able to conduct and participate
you.
In. And your content was fantastic. I think one of the things that I grasp about you that I never would have known, that you had 7 businesses at one time. I understand what that means. I mean, there's a lot of moving parts. There's employees, there's payroll tax, there's quarterly taxes. I mean, there's the government, the mail you get daily. I mean, people don't grasp that. If you own a $1 million business, then you have all the other paperwork, government entities, payroll taxes. You're paying writing checks to entities you don't even know who they are, right?
Well, right, and so are the people that took our money many times too, the bad people writing checks to who you don't know, and that's something, you know, that took its something. You got to keep a watch on your business. But to me, there's just nothing more liberating than being an entrepreneur. You know, it's setting up your life the way you want it, and you're going to make some good choices, you're going to make some bad choices, but you need to make that choice. You need to make that choice to take control of your own life. If that's what you really want, then you say, I'm going to start right now, and I'm not going to give up, and I'm going to keep taking it until it doesn't make sense, and follow through with your dreams.
One last question here. You ever eat at Grozzo's in Kansas City?
Yes, I used to love their grinders.
Well, I mean, that's my boy Michael, remember? He and I were, on July 6th, 1980, Michael and I opened Fanny, so I spent 4 years with the Godfather himself, so May 6th.
You opened Fanny's.
Right, I did. So on July 6th, 1980, I was one of the waiters that opened Fanny's, one of Kansas City's greatest restaurants in the history of Kansas City. Michael Garozzo was waiting tables. His cousin Sam Garozzo, who had worked at Charlie Gito's and Tony's in St. Louis, he was one of the maitre d's with Jimmy Volley, who also worked at Charlie Gito's and Tony's. I mean, people have never really dined in St. Louis Italian culture. I mean, New York, New Jersey Italian restaurants, but St. Louis Italian restaurants are a whole other situation. So Michael was 23 years old. I was 23 years old. I spent 4 years with Victor Fontana. He was one of 4 millionaires that I mentored with in my early 20s. By the time I was 26, I'd spent quality time with 4 different millionaires that never really mentored me, but I paid attention, modeled myself after them. And, you know, Victor Fontana's service that he taught at that restaurant was, bar none, the best service of any restaurant I've ever seen. I mean,
absolutely.
I learned so many skills at taking an order at a table, asking and packaging the dinner for the evening, putting the whole package together, letting people know that I'd be in charge of their culinary experience. I mean, just the whole package. And then my other friend,
so neat.
My other friend, who you might remember, Eric Sweeney, now owns Hayward's in Kansas City. He also came out of that culture as well.
So, Jeffrey, that would be who you would say Victor Fontana played a very instrumental role in your life that helped stick with you, I guess, and shape you now to lead to success, which is interesting.
Unequivocally. So a big part of who I am today was really developed in those 4 years with Victor Fontana, because when I worked at his restaurant, that's where I really got my vision. That's where I said, there was a client named Bill Hearn. He used to come there and he used to tip the bus.
I was just going to ask you about Bill Hearn.
Yeah, he used to tip us $100 before we would open.
Yes.
There was a guy named Dale Dunmire. We used to say he was strong like King Kong, and like he was the godfather of tipping. So he would he would come into that restaurant, and I'm like, I want to tip like that dude. And so, and I got to meet Sandy Berkeley, who is the mayor's wife of Kansas City, and many societal women. And I ended up getting jobs at Don Pepe's on the plaza, and I worked at the Carriage Club, Indian Hills Country Club, all from Victor's contacts. I mean, I catered for him. I did errands for him. I mean, my whole vision of owning a business, I thought it was going to be a restaurant. I was owning a restaurant, owning a business, being in free enterprise, living the good life came from those 4 years. Those were the foundation. They were the foundation of my addictions and the foundation of my vision. Because that was really the beginning of the end of my addictions was that era. Because I had so much juice that there wasn't enough alcohol to put it out, but I had so much vision that I couldn't let go of how I wanted to live, and I really grasped the vision living in Kansas City in the Country Club Plaza between 1977 and 1984. I mean, I was going to college part time, and then I graduated. And that's when I opened my first businesses, and I really saw myself being wealthy and saw myself owning businesses in that era. Now, it hadn't happened, but that was the fundamental foundation. When I was 21 years old, I said, I can do this.
And you look at that. I mean, you know, I think that's a really good lesson, is something that seems as a starting point as the service industry can have that much of an effect on you that shapes the way you think moving forward. So it shows you there's no wrong place to start. You just start.
Well, I waited on Julia Prowse. I waited on Missy Gaynor. I waited on Rod Stewart. I waited on all the George Brett, Lynn Dawson. I mean, Joe Namath, Stan Musial. Because Victor had so much influence that anyone who was anyone would come to his restaurant and he'd go, hey, babe, this is Jeff. He'll be in charge of your culinary experience this evening. Hey, babe, can I get you anything? And we had Dunhill Lighters, and, I mean, it was amazing, that whole era of, like, it was a trip. I mean, that's the only way I can put it. Shelley Weiner, McGuire, I want to thank you for being my guest on tonight's call. For all the men and women on tonight's call, Shelley is unequivocally a first-class woman, humanitarian, a woman who is a stand-up woman who looks cystic fibrosis in the face and is defeating it, a woman who owned 7 businesses at one time, Home Shopping Channel. I mean, your credentials are not even, they're beyond impressive. I mean, Shelley, you and I will be in contact very soon. Honored to have you on tonight's call. Love you. Have a great evening. Thank you for really gracing us with your insight tonight.
Oh, Jeff, thank you. I wish I could give you a big hug, and thank you for letting me share this time with you all tonight. It's so meaningful to me. Can't wait to talk to you again.
Well, very soon. Have a great evening, everyone. Everyone, that's Shelley Weiner McGuire, good friend, entrepreneur, and first-class woman. You heard her story tonight. This call is available on playback tomorrow. It'll be available at noon Eastern Standard Time, 9 p.m. Pacific. Have a great evening, everyone. And thanks for being on tonight's call.
Thank you. Good night.